The Source Podcast is brought to you by TechPont, a San Antonio company that uses cutting-edge digital technology to elevate marketing and advertising campaigns while reporting on transparent, measurable results. Their custom-built marketing strategies offer complete digital solutions and management. TechPont strives to help businesses connect with customers and effectively grow businesses. More at TechPonte.com.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. The United States has seen a sharp rise in the number of pedestrian fatalities, according to a recent report from the Governor's Highway Safety Association. Nearly 300 pedestrians were killed on Texas roads in the first half of 2018. Speeding, impaired driving, distracted driving, even the vehicle's size are identified as some of the crash factors. And San Antonio is trying to fight this trend with Vision Zero, but so far the deadly trend continues on the streets here. Why is that? What's being done to make our streets safer? Lots of ways for you to join our conversation, and we welcome you. The number to call is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. You can email your questions and comments to the source at tpr.org and tweet us at tprsource. We're joined this afternoon with Shirley Gonzalez, the San Antonio City Council representative for District 6. And welcome, Shirley. It's great to have you here.
Hi, District 5.
District 5. I'm sorry. Sorry about that there. And also, Police Chief William McManus is with us, San Antonio Police Department. Chief McManus, welcome.
Thanks. Good afternoon.
Gregory Reiniger is with us. He's the Principal Transportation Planner for the City of San Antonio and in the Transportation and Capital Improvements Department, and he's a spokesperson for Vision Zero San Antonio. Gregory.
Thanks for having me.
And Richard Ridding is here. He is a researcher and author of the Governor's Highway Safety Association Pedestrian Traffic Fatalities 2018 Report. So, Shirley Gonzalez, back to you, District 5 representative. You have been leading the way, helping San Antonio take a hold of Vision Zero to identify that San Antonio does have an issue with safety in the streets, and have been looking to City Council to dedicate resources. Can you talk about what's happening there?
Well, in 2015, San Antonio adopted the Vision Zero program. We were one of the very first cities in the country to do that, and I thought it was really important given the very high number of fatalities we're seeing in our roadways. And after inquiring about really where the great number of fatalities were occurring, we found that they were occurring primarily in low-income areas, primarily in large arterials, and also in areas where we had had where there were neighborhood streets that eventually turned into very large arterials. So that examples of that would be Culebra, Fredericksburg, General McMullen, Sarsamora. So some of the largest number of fatalities occur on only 1% of our roadways. So 30% of the fatalities occur on 1%. And so by dedicating more resources to the streets where we know they're most dangerous, hopefully we'll see some impact.
So, but in 2018, the number of deaths increased 11% in the San Antonio streets with pedestrian auto accidents. That's 49 pedestrians died in 2018 compared to 2017. And this is after the city launched Vision Zero. Is that really because we're hearing about more and more vehicles? Every day, 150 new vehicles are getting on San Antonio streets. Despite the efforts that were being put forward, it's just more resources are needed?
Much more resources are needed. So, for example, in the 2017 bond program, we had about $450 million dedicated to streets, and we know the majority of those will be complete streets. So hopefully once those streets are implemented, we'll start to see decline. But to date, we have spent very little on reducing fatalities on our roadways. We've been making strides, and there were five E's related to pedestrian safety, to the Vision Zero, some of them including engineering, education, and enforcement. And so we know the chief has a heavy lift on his side as well to make sure that we're enforcing the rules that exist. But we have not dedicated enough resources to this issue, but I expect that we will continue to do so in the future.
I think it's every driver's nightmare to think that, you know, I'll be driving down the street and suddenly I'll miss something and I'll hit somebody and they'll die because of my driving. And you don't want anyone to have to go through that. I mean, we can design our streets better so that no one has to experience that terribleness. But also there is the liability of that as well. So Police Chief McManus, can you talk about what happens with the investigation when there is a car accident that takes the life of a pedestrian?
Sure. Our traffic investigations unit investigates every pedestrian fatality. They do it forensically. They write up their report, and the vast majority of pedestrians that are killed on the roadway, we see one thing in common, and that is pedestrians in the roadway, not yielding the right of way or not in the crosswalk. And I'll tell you from personal experience, I patrol quite often during midnight hours, and to be quite frank, I'm surprised that we don't have a higher fatality rate with the number of people that I see walking in the roadways and crossing in the middle of the blocks in dark clothing. It's really quite concerning to see that number of that many people who are not thinking about traffic safety when they're walking on the roadways.
In the number of fatalities that we have, and as you investigate, and you're saying that I always thought that if you're the driver and there's a pedestrian in the walking around, that they have right of way. Do they not?
Well, the pedestrians still have a duty to be careful while they're walking on the roadway. You can't just walk across the street and expect that every driver is going to see you if it's dark and you're wearing dark clothing. There is a burden on the pedestrians to be safe as well.
And when that happens and there's a driver, and what liability does the driver face, Chief? Do you tell them, well, this was something that was beyond your control and therefore you're not going to be ticketed or cited or deemed responsible?
Exactly. That's exactly what happens.
And so what do you think the percentage is? I don't want to put you on a spot. If you can give me a ballpark figure, I'm not going to hold you to it, but what do you think that markup is?
I don't know. I mean, I don't have those figures off the top of my head. I know that the major contributing factor, as I mentioned, is pedestrians failing to yield the right of way. There's also alcohol-related fatalities. There are... Again, we have a lot of wide streets in the city, and when pedestrians decide that they're not going to take the time to walk to the corner, that they do that at their own peril, because quite often fatalities are resulting from people who are jaywalking. There's an equal burden to be safe, both on the driver's side and the pedestrian side. You can't have one and not the other, and expect the city to have low numbers.
Right, and the pedestrian has more to lose in that equation.
Well, I think everybody's got something to lose, but it's certainly most dangerous for a pedestrian to go up against a car, in the roadway. The pedestrian is always going to lose.
Especially at these speeds that we see here in San Antonio. We're going to take a break. We're continuing our conversation. We're talking about pedestrian deaths in San Antonio. What do you think can be done to make San Antonio streets all the more safer? We know that right now, in last year, there were 11% more deaths on the streets in San Antonio for pedestrians than the year before. Why do you think that is? The number to call in is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. The Source continues right after this break. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about pedestrian deaths in the streets of San Antonio and also the streets across Texas and the country. It is a very dangerous thing to be walking in the streets in the sidewalks here, if there are sidewalks, because if you get hit by a vehicle, you are in a lot of trouble. The faster the vehicle goes, it's incredible how much difference it makes. So if you're hit by a vehicle traveling at 20 miles per hour, 9 out of 10 pedestrians will survive. If that vehicle is traveling just 10 miles faster, then that goes to 5 out of 10 pedestrians survive. If that vehicle is traveling at 40 miles per hour, only 1 out of 10 pedestrians survive. So speed of the vehicles plays an important factor in who survives one of these encounters. So let's go to Richard Redding. He is a researcher and author of the Governor's Highway Safety Association Pedestrian Traffic Fatalities 2018 report. And so can you talk about how we divvy up responsibility and liability when it comes to who's at fault in these types of encounters?
Sure. Well, first thing I want to do is just clarify that those relative percentages of fatality outcomes for various speeds are getting a little bit dated, and I think they're largely based on cars. We've seen over the last 10 years a large increase in the market share for SUVs. I think it's fair to say that the probability of a fatality has gone up with the increase in light trucks and SUVs. So we're actually seeing a higher chance of death, even at lower speeds, than we've seen in the past.
Is that because SUVs are really boxy, and when they hit you, it's more like you're being hit by a wall? If it's a sedan, then you were more likely being able to roll over the vehicle and not be critically injured?
Yeah, sure. So there are a couple of factors at play. The main one is the shape of the front end of the vehicle, in addition to the size and weight. Now, the shape is important because on a typical passenger car, the contact will be made with the legs, with the lower portion of the body of the pedestrian. And the classic trajectory is for the pedestrian to be thrown up on the hood of the car. You know, obviously at a high enough speed, being thrown on the hood and the windshield can result in a head injury. But at lower speeds, there may not be a fatal injury. When the vehicle, striking vehicle, is an SUV or a larger pickup truck, there's no longer just contact with the lower portion of the body, the legs, for example, but with the torso and the head. So there's a direct impact with organs, sensitive organs of the body, which can lead to fatal injuries by themselves without being thrown any further.
So that's really interesting. And we know that there's a lot of thought that goes into the design of vehicles, but that thought is given towards the safety of the passengers and the driver, but not for anyone who could get in way of a traveling vehicle. Is that something that needs to be brought up in a national conversation?
It actually, the U.S. lags far behind other developed countries, particularly in Europe and Australia, where there's been, for many, many years now, a focus on making the outside of the vehicle safer for pedestrians. There are such inventions as pop-up airbags, hoods that are designed differently, reducing the proximity of engine components to the hood so that pedestrians who land on a hood have a greater survival rate. The U.S. has not put emphasis on vehicle design features that protect pedestrians. The one exception of late seems to be the move by manufacturers to introduce warning technology and advance automatic braking systems in cars that allow for vehicles to detect pedestrians and either automatically brake or warn the driver. So we're seeing a great advance in the promise of vehicles to be safer from a pedestrian standpoint. But it's
now let's go, we lost that call. We'll try and get that reestablished. But Gregory Reininger, the principal transportation planner for the city of San Antonio and spokesperson for Vision Zero San Antonio, is there an analysis that has gone on about where these fatalities are happening in San Antonio and what commonalities have we identified?
Yeah, there is. So a couple of years ago, our team worked on the severe pedestrian injury areas analysis. And that's what the councilman was talking about earlier, is that over these five-year period, we had over 663 severe crashes in the city just for pedestrians. And out of the over 4,000 miles of city-maintained street, we found that 33% of these severe injuries are occurring on 1% of our city streets. Only 37 miles account for a third of our entire injuries. So that helps to bring that number to be a little more realistic, to realize where we need to spend our money and increase our sources, no matter if that's engineering or enforcement, anything like that, to help target that. But as the report said earlier too, we do see I think about 74% of our pedestrian fatalities do occur at night. That does seem to be pretty common. And a lot of our severe pedestrian injury areas, mostly inside Loop 410, sort of our bigger arterial roads, things like that, they all have pretty similar trends is what we see.
What about the presence of sidewalks?
Sidewalks, they are here and there, but it does seem to be that a lot of the fatalities we see are people crossing the street. So I don't know if someone could still be crossing a street, maybe because there's not a sidewalk ahead. But a lot of times it's between signals, and it's maybe there's a bus stop or there's whatever destination, work, home, that's right across the street. And it's sometimes not realistic to expect someone when it's 102 degrees outside, the average person's not going to walk a quarter mile down and come back. But the city is spending a lot of money on sidewalks right now. And there's a lot that came through the bond. A lot of it is continuing to increase every single year in our general fund. So sidewalks are still a really important component of that.
I'm going to take a caller, and let's get Charlie on the phone, on the air. And, hey, Charlie, thanks for calling in. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, thank you. I don't know what the percentage of those accidents might be related to distracted drivers, but we have a hands-free law in San Antonio, and that is very rarely enforced, at least as I can tell. I know one person since that's gone into effect that's gotten a ticket. If they put an undercover or unmarked car, I'm sure they could pay for themselves and generate tons of revenue for the city, and then let people know that we really are serious about not texting, talking, or reading your mail while you're on the phone or while you're driving. Every time I'm at an intersection, I look to my left and right and see people on their phones, and the traffic takes off, and they're completely oblivious. I don't know why we don't enforce the laws that are already on the books more aggressively.
Okay, Charlie, thank you for that. Chief McManus is with us. Can you talk about the enforcement?
Yeah, Charlie, thanks for that comment, but I have to say that you're not quite accurate as far as the enforcement part of it goes. We issue a lot of tickets for distracted driving, and that is, in fact, part of what makes our roads dangerous. But there are a lot of tickets issued. I'm not sure where you got that information from, Charlie, that we're not enforcing it, because we are, in fact, doing that.
So I'm sure Charlie was just being anecdotal on that, Chief McManus. So I'm sure this is when you have a police officer pulling over a vehicle on the road and everyone drives by, it has a impact on public safety. People realize, oh, the police are out and they're enforcing traffic laws, and they know, I'd better really mind my P's and Q's when I'm driving, because I don't want to get slapped with a fine and a ticket and hurt my driving record. Are we publicizing the fact that you are enforcing this distracted driving laws, Chief? And do you think that if we did enforce, make people aware that you are out and about doing this, that it would have a pretty good impact?
Matter of fact, we're getting ready to put out a public safety announcement on distracted driving, as we've done in the past. And our traffic units, I think pulling cars over and writing the citations for distracted driving is publicity in and of itself, because the folks who are getting those tickets, they're not being quiet about it. I'm sure they're telling their friends and their relatives that they got cited for using a cell phone. Now, I've stopped people myself for using a cell phone while they're driving.
What about pedestrians, Chief, who are on the phone while they are walking around crossing the streets?
That's just as dangerous as well. Distracted walking is going to lead to going to increase your percentages of becoming a fatality on the street if you're doing that while you're walking along the roadway, across the roadway.
Is that a ticketable offense?
That I believe that is not a ticketable offense, no.
When someone is crossing in the crosswalk legally, and then there are drivers who want to turn right on red and they want to get where they're going, what are the drivers? If someone is in that crosswalk at any part of the crosswalk, they're not supposed to be able. They're not supposed to drive through, right, at all.
Yes, that's correct. They drivers have to yield right of way to a pedestrian in a crosswalk.
So even if it's not even in that particular lane, they have to abide by the pedestrians right away.
they have to yield to the pedestrians. Wherever that pedestrian is in the crosswalk, the driver has to yield to that pedestrian.
So, Chief McManus, I got to let you go. We only have you for the first half hour, but what do you think we ought to be doing in San Antonio to make our streets safer?
I think that you mentioned it earlier, public awareness, I think, is the biggest thing that we can do right now, educating people on pedestrian and roadway safety. And I think the second thing that we need to do in conjunction with that is enforcement.
There. What about lowering the speed limits, particularly in residential areas? In Alamo Heights, it's pretty low there, and it seems to have a pretty good impact. Is that something that we could see in San Antonio, Chief? Would you welcome that?
I think that's a better question directed at the transportation and capital improvement folks.
But you would be able to enforce that as if it becomes a policy?
If that became law, if that became an ordinance, the police department would enforce it.
All right. And so let me go to Shirley Gonzalez from District 5. Is that something that's being considered?
In fact, I was in Austin on Tuesday with that very issue, trying to get us to allow us to set our own prima facie speed limits. I'm a big proponent of reducing speed limits all over the city. One of the things that we know for sure is that one of the greatest determinants, as you mentioned in your opening remarks, about whether or not a person gets killed in a collision is speed. And that's not necessarily speeding. It's just the speed of which the collision happens. And so I have been a big proponent of reducing speed limits. But what we have to change in addition is city form. And if we're going to force people to drive slower, we also need to give them a better built environment, greater density, greater connectivity of resources, and those things as well. So better sidewalks, better design of streets, more crosswalks. Every intersection is a crosswalk, whether it's marked or not. And that's a culture that has to shift among drivers in Texas. We're used to just driving everywhere we want to go.
So we have this sort of move or die attitude when it comes to driving.
That's right. And whether or not there's a crosswalk, if there's an intersection, that's a crosswalk. And that's a law that many of our people don't know. The chief didn't mention it in his remarks regarding enforcement, but the reality is if a person is trying to cross a street in an intersection, it's a crosswalk whether it's marked or not.
Do you think next year we have scooters now, people zipping around and falling off and doing all sorts of shenanigans on scooters? Is that going to register as a pedestrian accident if someone gets hit on a scooter?
I imagine that it would, or perhaps it's a bicycle collision. But I've been equally supportive of making more bike lanes, or now micro lanes is now what we're calling them, to give people access and different mobility options. And one of the ways that we know that our streets are safer is if they have bike lanes, whether or not people use the bike lanes as bike lanes or mobility lanes. It slows down the traffic in the streets when we have bike lanes, when we have street trees, when we have sidewalks, when we have a boulevard type of environment. It encourages people to drive slower and ultimately would reduce fatalities.
If someone is walking and they get hit by a scooter, how is that classified?
I don't know, but I imagine it would be the extent of the
Because that's pretty
collision.
Bad. It's happening all the time.
Yes, but not likely to lead to a fatality.
But your people are going up to the ER with those types of bang-ups. We're talking about pedestrian deaths and severe injuries this hour on The Source. We're going to take a break. We'll get to some callers when we come back. I got to let Chief McManus go. Thank you for joining us, Police Chief McManus. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. The number is 210-614-8980. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. We're talking about pedestrian deaths in San Antonio. The number to call in is 210-614-8980. We just went through daylight savings time. We've heard that there's a relationship between traffic fatalities, and I know that it's darker in the mornings now. Gregory Reinecker, he is the spokesperson for Vision Zero San Antonio. Have we seen anything happening in San Antonio with daylight savings shift?
Yes, and I think it's a trend that we generally see nationwide, but from about October to February, early March, when we do see the sun going down much earlier in the afternoon, there is a higher percentage of fatalities that we do see. So the brightness does make a big impact.
So is the fatalities are in the morning or in the evening?
It seems to be more in the evening. We do have some overnight, but I think it's that PM rush hour and a lot of people out and about during that PM rush hour that really attributes to it.
And Richard Redding, what do you think about that?
No, it's absolutely right. Nationwide, there's strong evidence that one of the riskiest times of day for pedestrians is in the afternoon rush hour into the evening. And daylight savings time has been shown for many years now to be detrimental to pedestrian safety when it's taken out in the fall. So what we just did last week, adding more daylight in the afternoon, is actually the best thing we can do for pedestrian safety.
So do you, as a pedestrian policy to make streets safer, should we? Do you think we should scrap daylight savings time?
Well, it's the opposite, actually. Keeping daylight savings time year-round would be a benefit to pedestrians.
Okay. Let's go to the calls. Let's go to JT. JT, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that keeps being mentioned is that the largest contributing factor to all these accidents, these fatalities, is responsibility on the pedestrian to use the crosswalks, to cross at intersections, and to do what they're supposed to do. But nobody's talking about using that responsibility as a means to bring these numbers down by, like, enforcing jaywalking rules and those types of things. Are we afraid to blame the victim?
Doesn't seem like anyone's afraid to blame the victim this afternoon, because I'm hearing a lot of that. So let's go to Gregory Reiniger with the City of San Antonio, spokesperson for Vision Zero San Antonio. How are we doing on enforcement for jaywalking?
I don't know the exact numbers on that, but it doesn't seem to be a very common occurrence, I feel like. I know we've requested in the past, and we haven't seen many, but it's also pretty hard to enforce it in areas where maybe the amenities for pedestrians aren't quite up to what they should be. It's hard to give a jaywalking ticket when the guy has to walk a quarter of a mile to get to the stoplight. So I think we are improving a lot of these areas that we have a lot of crashes, and trying to improve a lot more mid-block crossings, things like that, to make them more amenable. But percentage of jaywalking citations, I really don't know.
And Shirley Gonzalez, a District 5 City Council representative, Is there a jaywalking concern? Should people be ticketed for that?
Well, I have never felt that would be a good way to reduce fatalities. I represent a very poor district, and we know that there was a direct correlation between PCI score, so pavement condition index, and their number of fatalities. So the worse your street conditions, the more likely you were to be killed walking across the street. And so the more that we invest in our streets and our sidewalks, the more likely people will be safe. And so we know that there are parts of the city that have been disadvantaged for a long time, and as a result, we've had very unsafe streets. So as we try to correct this over the years through Complete Streets, also through the equity budget that brought more money to street pavement conditions, we would hope that we would see a reduction in fatalities as well.
Richard Redding, looking at it from a national view, jaywalking, is that a way to deal with this?
Yeah, well, I agree with what's been said so far, largely by your other guests, which is that the built environment leaves a lot to be desired for pedestrians. And it's unfair to ask people in some cases to walk extremely long distances to comply with the law. So if you have a street where, in order to cross at a crosswalk, to get from point A to point B, a pedestrian needs to go a quarter of a mile, it just is an unfair burden on pedestrians. From a law enforcement standpoint, I think the police resources, as you know, are extremely limited, and they prefer to focus on violations that are flagrant and that lead to various serious outcomes. That's not to say there's no room at all for ticketing jaywalkers, where people behave in an extremely reckless and irresponsible way, and it's observed by a police officer. That is ripe for enforcement. But I think as a targeted violation, police time is better spent on driver violations, which put other lives at risk.
Okay, let's go to Carlos on the phones. Carlos, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. I live on off Fredericksburg and Site 410, and I disagree with the councilwoman that street improvement is going to help anything. It's what we're combating here is stupidity and ignorance and lack of common sense. I tipped some gangster kid on Vance Jackson because he ran right in front of me, literally. And the only reason he survived is because I drove a compact. And he rolled off my my hood and landed in the street. I got off, make sure it didn't have any head injuries. And when I took out my phone and told him I was going to call the cops and the ambulance, he got up and said, "No cops, man, no cops," and hobbled away. And now we have a high number of homeless people living off Fredericksburg Road, and I see them every morning and every night coming to and from work out in the street, in the middle of the street, trying to cross instead of an intersection.
All right, Carlos, thank you for the call. We know Fredericksburg Road is a tough street to cross and to be a pedestrian on. I'm sorry that you had to go through that, but Shirley Gonzalez from District 5, you'd want to react.
It is one of our major corridors and one of the deadliest streets in the city. I think there's a lot we can do to calm the environment. There has been lots of discussion about the Primo route and, in fact, crossing to cross the street to catch the bus in the other direction. We have several Z crossings on Fredericksburg Road.
So these are specialty crossing spots. There's one by Tip Top, I know, where people can cross there middle of the so it's not an intersection. You can go up there and you can hit the button and it'll give you a stoplight to cross. Gregory Reiniger with the Transportation Capital Improvements Department. I know there are some projects that are coming up for Fredericksburg. Can you talk about that briefly?
Mm-hmm. I know that Fredericksburg Road, so the lower half of Fredericksburg Road from about Five Points up to Woodlawn, is currently on the 2017 bond. And that's something that a lot of the neighborhood really got behind. And it's something where they're really pushing for a lot of better pedestrian amenities, better safety. A lot of the sidewalks there are maybe 3 feet wide with some sort of rail. It's just not really what it should be, especially to help grow that community and slow down traffic. But there are quite a few projects that we have around the city that we're planning, mostly mid-block crossings to help give people that spacing between signalized crossings that should help with that issue.
Another caller, Rick. Rick, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. My comment is that it's very dark in San Antonio at night, and you need much more street lighting in order to see pedestrians.
Rick, thank you for the call. That's a great point. Richard Redding, as you do data analysis, is that something that y'all consider when you do an examination of a fatal accident? You want to see, was there enough lighting, and what have you noticed?
Yeah, well, in our report, we make clear that nighttime is a very problematic part of the day for pedestrian fatalities. About 75% of pedestrian fatalities occur at night nationwide. We know that nowhere near 75% of pedestrian activity occurs at night. And so there's a disproportionate amount of harm that occurs at night. We've also noticed in the last 10 years of the additional pedestrian deaths that have occurred, the increase, over 90% of that has occurred at night. So nighttime is becoming more dangerous than ever. And there are very good solutions to address nighttime pedestrian safety problems, primarily street lighting. Street lighting has been shown to reduce the risk of pedestrian crashes by 50%, 50. And so I view street lighting as one of the most effective and probably the most cost-effective treatment that we have in our toolkit to improve pedestrian safety.
And Shirley Gonzalez from District 5, is there an issue with San Antonio street lighting?
There absolutely is, and since of the last maybe 5 years or so, I've gotten additional $3 million for lighting in District 5. We also had a lighting program that went citywide as a result of this issue, and so it's come with not just new technologies that allow us to have more illumination with less cost, but also those lights can, well, the poles and the lighting themselves can have other uses, and they can be targeted towards areas where, so that you have as soon as a person walks by, it gets brighter. If there's not a lot of movement, it's dimmer, and so that.
So smart lighting.
That's exactly right. Smart lighting citywide, especially on these major corridors where we know we have a lot of fatalities.
Well, what about making it easily available, reflective strips or things that people can wear on themselves so no one wants to get hit by a car. And if we can make it easier so that they can be spotted at night, That's something.
So the Vision Zero does have some lighting that they give out at all of our events. They're very clever. They can strap on, and maybe Greg can talk a little bit about all those things that we give away. Hopefully people will have them handy, perhaps. I've always felt like we needed to work closely with VIA to make sure that they're distributing them to the bus riders, perhaps when they exit and enter, so that people can be visible.
And so, Gregory?
Yes. So over since we started Vision Zero about 3.5 years ago, we've attended about 300 community events and talked to over 57,000 people. And that's something we definitely give out to people.
Right. So, I mean, it can be just like a piece of tape with reflective. It doesn't have to be over the top. I know you have some really nice blinky, lighty things mm-hmm. that are really cool. I have one when I run and in the dark, so I don't want to get hit by a vehicle as well. Got a lot of calls lined up. If you want to join the conversation, the number is 210-614-8980. We're trying to kind of come up with some actionable solutions how to make San Antonio streets safer for pedestrians, bikers, and drivers. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Stay tuned. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We're talking about San Antonio streets, how to make them safer for pedestrians, bikers, and drivers. The number to call in is 210-614-8980. Matthew, thanks for calling in. Matthew, you're on The Source. Go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I really just had a comment in regarding, I'm basically so happy to hear this conversation going on today. I listen to NPR a lot, and my mother did too. She passed away recently in June, but she was 3 years prior, she was struck by a vehicle in Universal City, and she was in a crosswalk, struck by a driver who had no insurance. Years before, she was struck even again on Broadway, just crossing the road. We had the green light to walk, or the little man on the sign. And just because these people don't have insurance, no attorneys wanted to pick up these cases. And I would love to see an urge of attorneys essentially willing to take these cases of people with no insurance or whatever it may be, because I may have had a couple more years with my mother had she had proper care. Now, that accident, the most recent one, did expose other injuries and internal stuff that was going on. So it was a blessing and a curse, but I would just love to see Texas, San Antonio attorneys especially, because as a Postmates driver, mm-hmm. my number one concern on the road is pedestrians. And
right, Matthew, thank you for that call. Richard Redding, he is with the researcher and author of the Governor's Highway Safety Association Pedestrian Traffic Fatalities 2018 report. What is the divide between people who are elderly, who are walking, because that's typically, you want people to be able to do that safely. Some people are elderly doing this. Are they particularly at risk?
Yeah, well, traditionally, what we've seen is that elderly people don't account for the largest number of pedestrian fatalities. But as on a rate basis, per population, older people are at a higher risk. So per population, the problem is that when older people get hit by cars, they're more likely to die because of frailty. So it's hard to say exactly where that cutoff begins. As I turn 60 next year, I don't want to necessarily think of myself as approaching being elderly. But you reach a point in your life, whether it's a 75, 80, where the ability to survive a crash significantly goes down, even at the same impact speed. So that while elderly people are not involved in nearly as many pedestrian crashes as children, for example. Children have a much higher survival rate. So kids are more likely to be in pedestrian crashes, but per population, elderly people are more likely to die as a result of pedestrian crashes.
So what about population-targeted solutions where you can reach out to elderly populations and try to educate them or help them identify something to help them cope with this?
Sure. Well, education is important. Having information helps people make better decisions. But the more important or equally important task, if resources permit, involves physical improvements to the infrastructure so that the built environment reflects the needs of older people, particularly around senior centers, residents where there are large numbers of older people living and walking. The kinds of improvements to the roadway that are associated with Vision Zero, we see having a big payoff in New York City. And as Vision Zero type improvements take hold across the country, the built environment becomes safer so that there's less of a need for education. The roadway becomes self-enforcing through speed reduction, shorter crossing distances, the use of median islands, refuge islands, better street lighting. These kinds of physical improvements make people safer so that the need for education is not as important as it is absent physical improvements.
And signage, does that help for drivers, letting them know that this is an area where there's a lot of pedestrians?
Yeah. Well, I have been working in this profession for 35, 36 years now. And, you know, signage is important, but it just isn't as impactful as we'd like it to be. Signage conveys messaging. It asks people to be more mindful of the environment in which they're driving. So, for example, having pedestrian crossing warning signs, and we now have a brighter, more reflective color in the U.S. that's been approved for use for the last several years. As those signs become more prominent and in conjunction with other physical improvements, drivers can better sense that they're entering an area, for example, where they should anticipate a heavy pedestrian activity. But as Greg was saying earlier, the fact that he can define and narrow down a very small percent of fatal crashes to a small percentage of the overall roadway network indicates that where physical improvements and signs are available for installation, it's those kinds of locations that should be targeted and emphasized for infrastructure improvements.
Gregory Reiniker, is the legislature taking up any sort of action in this session that could help San Antonio streets become safer?
So I know there is House Bill 1287 from Representative Israel from Austin, and that would essentially lower residential speeds in San Antonio that are currently signed at 30 miles an hour, or not, they're not even signed at 30 miles an hour, actually. They're just, the state law says 30 miles an hour, and that would bring them down to 25 miles an hour. And as we heard before, a 30 mile an hour crash results in almost a 50% chance of fatality, while a 25 mile an hour crash brings that down to 25%. So a 5 mile an hour difference makes a tremendous difference in the fatality rate.
And I see there's a proposed bill, 1289, Texas Stop for Pedestrians bill, relating to the requiring the operator of a vehicle to stop and yield right away to a pedestrian. Isn't this already the law?
It is, and I think sometimes there is difficulties with drivers understanding exactly what the law is, especially when it comes to pedestrians. Am I supposed to yield? Am I supposed to stop? What am I supposed to do? I know there's different states where you're supposed to stop for pedestrians. Some states are supposed to yield for pedestrians. I believe Texas is a yield state. And I think there's a lot of education that really needs to go out there to people to really understand.
And let's go back to the phones with Kevin. And Kevin, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I'm really happy to hear a lot of people talk about how difficult it is to be a pedestrian. I mean, there's just a lot of challenges that go into trying to get anywhere when you're on foot. And, you know, when I cross the street, you know, I do try to follow the laws, but sometimes you just can't. And one thing I've noticed is just how sort of aggressive drivers can be and how they just kind of assume you're going to get out of their way. Technically, they might have the right of way. Maybe I'm in the wrong spot, but I really am doing the best I can. And, you know, a lot of people already talked about it, but just slowing down a bit, just driving defensively, just being prepared for, you know, the fact that pedestrians might actually be somewhere where you wouldn't expect them could probably save a lot of lives. But I just feel like in Texas in general, I guess not to generalize too much, but people can be very aggressive drivers. And I think that might be a cultural problem that can lead to some fatalities too.
All right, Kevin, thank you for the call. I'm going to go straight to another caller because we have a lot of them here. Miriam. Hi, Miriam. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. And I want to take that conversation on the scooters, where the city council says that they were not fatal, but they're fatal for our children. And also, if you see the distracted drivers, the scooter on the phone, that you can see that in downtown on and on again. And I wanted to know about the city of San Antonio, what it's doing when they mentioned it, that there were no more scooters companies that were coming to San Antonio, and then there was one more.
All right. Thank you, Miriam, for the call. So District 5 City Council Representative Shirley Gonzalez, want to take her questions?
So I think that company that she mentioned was already in queue. But as I have mentioned many times, we need to make our streets safe for all road users. Our streets are public spaces paid for by taxpayers' dollars, and they should be equally safe for all road users, whether you're walking, cycling, using public transit, or using a private automobile. One of the ways that people that are using scooters to get to destinations could be safer is by having dedicated spaces. We already have a bicycle master plan. We've had it since 2011. We're looking forward to implementing that plan, but we haven't added a lot of bike lanes, at least in the last 6 years since I've been on the council. We have not prioritized any other mode of transportation beyond single occupancy vehicles, and that's why we continue to have the very unsafe streets that we do. So if we were just willing to make our streets safe for all road users, whether you're a child crossing the street or a senior citizen trying to get about town, we could really save lives.
So in September 2018, the City Council approved funding for a pedestrian mobility officer for this fiscal budget. And what is that officer? What is that officer doing? Has that been hired?
So that person has not been hired yet. I believe that by implementing our master plans, we could likely, that position may not be as significant as just implementing some of the things we already have in the queue. So as I mentioned, implementing the bicycle master plan, implementing more of our sidewalk plan, implementing some of the slower street designs, putting more crosswalks, the Z crossings in streets, really making a street like Fredericksburg that was originally designed to be much more pedestrian friendly, that over the years became a 7-lane highway, into a space that is more friendly for all road users. That would be a better use of that particular position and the funding.
So what about crowdsourcing, trying to figure out problems that exist in the streets of San Antonio? Are you engaged with pedestrians? Are they able to pull out their cell phone and take a picture of something like, this is a really terrible intersection? How does that work? Can you talk about that?
So I think that's a great idea. I don't know if we have something like that, Greg. I know that we, in the most deadliest intersections in the city, we are focusing on those, and especially focusing on sidewalks and intersections where there are schools and sidewalks, hospitals, places where we know we have a lot of pedestrian space. But having an app like that sounds like a great idea. Somebody should make one.
And they can go to 311?
311, that's what I was going to say. That's always helpful.
All right, you can do 311 on your smartphone. And I want to thank all of our guests this afternoon. Richard Redding, he has authored the Pedestrian Traffic Fatalities Report. Gregory Reininger, he is a spokesperson for Vision Zero San Antonio. And Shirley Gonzalez, District 5 City Council Representative. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks for tuning us in.